It is a subject very few people like to talk about or even think about. We're talking today about the doctrine of everlasting judgment, hell. Let me begin by asking this question right off the bat. Why do people go to hell? We're not talking today about the reality of hell. That is a given. Jesus said hell is a real place. Why do people go there? And this is the misconception that a lot of people have about this place. If you were to interview 10 people today at random and ask them, why do people go to hell? I would imagine and venture to guess that at least 7 out of 10 of them would say people go to hell for being bad. They go to hell for being bad people. They go to hell for doing bad things. And that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, and mark this down, people don't go to hell for what they do. They go to hell for what they don't do. They refuse the gift of eternal life that is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. They look at hell, many people, as a place they're going to be consigned to because of all the evil things they've done. No, they're going to hell because they look at the cross and they see the sacrifice of the Lamb of God and they walk away from it saying, I'll have nothing to do with this Jesus. That's why people go to hell, because of what they don't do. Jesus preached more on hell than he did heaven. Bear me witness. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see if I'm not telling you the truth. Now, why did God create this place? Jesus said in Matthew 25, 41, he made hell originally for the devil and his angels, for Satan. That was the original intention of God creating hell. But when man fell in the Garden of Eden, under Adam and Eve, and passed that sin nature down through all the generations, God, from eternity past, ordained that men who reject God's gracious gift of eternal life spend eternity here. Hell is a real place. In Luke 16, the story is told by Jesus of a rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus was a despicable creature. He had no money. He was poor. He had to subsist on gifts that people gave him of food and maybe a little money every now and then. He was laid outside the gate of the rich man. And the Bible says that one died and he went to hell. The other, Lazarus, died and he went to paradise. And he descended down into what the Bible calls the heart of the earth. Hell is beneath us. Heaven is above us. Hell is beneath us. People, when they die without Jesus as their Lord and Savior, descend into hell. The rich man in that story in Luke 16 said, I am tormented in this flame. The imagery here is not symbolic. It is not symbolic suffering. He said, I am quite literally being tormented in this place. Hell is not a state of mind. It is a physical location. I've been amazed at the number of people over the last 20, 25 years who've made a mint out of selling books telling the world one big fat lie. There are people who've made millions of dollars saying they had a death experience, they went into heaven, they stayed for a while and came back and reported what they saw. That is not true. It is not true. And now there's a guy who just came out with a brand new book. He said he went to hell and he stayed down there for about 2 hours and he said he saw all the horrible things down there and came back and filed a report. Folks, listen to me. All that is a money-making enterprise. When people die and go to hell, they don't come back and file a report on what they saw. Believe me, that is a lie. Now, you do know, don't you, that the story in Luke 16 goes on to say that the rich man was in hell and he was tormented in the fire of hell, and he asked Father Abraham, would you please somehow warn my brothers because they're coming here. And Father Abraham said, no, you cannot get out and go back to earth and warn them of this place. You are consigned here for eternity. I'm telling you, if anybody in hell today could get out and stand in this pulpit and file a report on what they experienced down there, they would beg you, plead with you, don't go there. Trust Jesus Christ, who is your only hope from eternal judgment. It's an eternal place. Matthew 25, Jesus said, eternal means forever. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. He said it's a place. This is one of the scariest verses in all the Bible on hell. He said hell is a place where the fire will never be extinguished, never be put out. The fire will burn for eternity. When he used that terminology, listen to me, he was talking in the day in which he lived about the city of Jerusalem. And there was a garbage dump on the east side of the city of Jerusalem called Gehenna. Gehenna was a place where everybody brought their garbage and they threw it on the garbage pile. It was a huge landfill and they were constantly burning the garbage because more and more people were coming every day to bring more and more garbage. And he said, the flames of Gehenna never go out because there's more and more garbage being heaped upon this landfill. And Jesus said, and the Jews well understood what he meant when he was talking about Gehenna. He said, this is a place where the fire will never be extinguished. Hell is not like purgatory. And let me tell you why. Because there's no purgatory. That is a false teaching. Purgatory says, this Catholic doctrine, that this is a place you've got to go and suffer for a period of time until your sins have been paid for. Your sins have to be paid for, and the way that happens is in this place called purgatory. You've got to go and have your sins purged out before you can be fit for heaven. Well, people don't pay for their sins in hell. You cannot pay for your sins. Jesus is the only one who does that. Hebrews chapter 1 says, Jesus purged our sins. The word purgatory comes from the word purge. Catholics teach that purgatory is a place where you suffer for a temporary period of time until you are made fit for heaven by your sins being purged. But nobody can pay for sin except Jesus. In hell, people don't pay for their sins. That happened on the cross. But people are punished in hell for their sins. Now, here's a question I've been asked often. Can I have just a little more volume on the mic? Fellas, thank you. Here is a question that I have been asked often. And it is this: are there different degrees of punishment in hell? Well, let me say before I address that, there are different degrees of rewards in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says that there are different degrees of rewards based on the amount of service you gave to Jesus Christ. Some will receive many rewards in heaven because of their faithfulness. And some people will receive no reward at all because they did very little for the cause of Christ. You will not wear a crown. Your salvation will not be forfeited, but God will not give you a crown that will last for eternity. Well, the same thing is true. I want you to see this in front of you. It is Luke, please. Turn to chapter 12 of Luke's Gospel. You're right there in the New Testament in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12. There are different degrees of punishment in hell. Now, hell is going to be hell, no matter what degree of punishment is meted out. But it seems, based on Jesus' words here, that there will be different degrees of punishment. Luke 12, verse 47. Look at how Jesus put this. Luke 12, verse 47. That servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Verse 48, but he who did not know his master's will, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. Now, I am absolutely convinced this is a reference to eternity. And there will be people to stand before Jesus Christ one day, and they heard the gospel. They heard the plan of salvation and rejected it all their life. They were aware that there was a God who loved them, a Jesus who died on the cross. And they said no to the Savior who said yes to the cross. Jesus said, these people will be beaten with many stripes, a more severe degree of punishment. Conversely, there are people today across this world who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. These are the ones who did not know their master's will, yet committed things deserving of punishment. Did you catch that part? They're not innocent because they're sinners, and their sins make them culpable. Their sins will require punishment, and yet they will be beaten, Jesus said, with fewer stripes. The punishment may be of a different variety or less than those who hear the gospel, but again, all of them will go to hell one day. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. If you have heard the gospel hundreds of times, you are more accountable than someone who's never heard it before. And for you, there will be a more severe meeting out of the punishment of God. Now, let me talk to you for just a few moments about the alternatives to an eternal hell. And believe me, there are many of them. Satan has devised all kinds of alternatives to the biblical doctrine of hell. Here's the first one. There is no hell. None. There are pastors who stand in pulpits all across this country, and they tell their people, hell is not real. There's nothing you need to fear. Hell is not a real place. Well, Jesus said it was. They say God is too loving to send anyone to an eternal hell. I want you to listen to this, and if you don't hear anything I tell you today, you hear this. God is a God of love. No question about it. He is a God of grace, but He is also a God of justice. And sin must be punished. It has to be. And if you don't come to the cross and receive the Savior as your Lord and as God's payment for your sins, then you will have to, for all of eternity, bear the punishment of rejecting the one who loved you so much that he died for sinners. Oh, there is a hell. Jesus said so. Number two, everyone goes to heaven. Boy, that's a nice thought, isn't it? One day everyone's going to go to heaven. There's nothing to worry about beyond the grave. Jesus loves everyone, and one day at the end of time, he is going to save everyone. There is a word for this. You've heard me preach on this before. It is called universalism. It basically says that God is going to save everyone at the end of time. And everyone ultimately is going to go to heaven. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at verse 22 with me? I want to tell you about a conversation I had with a pastor of another denomination back in the 1980s. And we were talking about the subject of eternal punishment. He said, Bill, he said, you're just wide of the mark in your belief in hell. He said, there's actually a verse in 1 Corinthians that says that everyone will be saved ultimately. And I said, well, I'd like to see that. And he took me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it's verse 22. Look at these words. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There it is, he said. Everyone will be saved. All will be made alive. I said, there's one problem. You forgot the two words that precede those words. In Christ shall all be made alive. In Christ, in Jesus, in salvation, in receiving Christ, you'll be made alive. He's not saying that all will be saved in the end, but in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, we all know about that great passage of Scripture over in Philippians chapter 2. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. But in Philippians chapter 2, Paul said, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. And the universalist says, here's proof that everyone's going to heaven. Every knee will bow to Jesus one day. They'll all be saved. They're going to be saved either on this earth or they will be saved when they bow before Jesus in heaven. No. No, that is not what Paul is saying. When Paul says every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, he's not saying that everybody will be saved and go to heaven one day, but he is saying that on the day of what the book of Revelation 20 calls the day of the great white throne judgment, when every human being who has ever lived, is living, or will live, will kneel before Jesus and confess Him as Lord. If you don't do that on this earth by the time you die, it'll be too late. Let me quote from Paul. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is going to happen again on the day of judgment for the unbeliever. Why is every knee going to bow? Because Paul said, and here's what's going to happen. Let me give you a graphic glimpse of this. One day, every unbeliever will kneel before Jesus so God can get glory from them. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And just before they are thrown for eternity in the lake of fire, they're going to confess Jesus is Lord so that Jesus can receive glory. But see, that's too late. They will confess, but if you don't do that before you die, it is too late. Just before they are thrown into eternal punishment, they will confess Jesus as Lord. Now that's not only, Paul said, of those things in heaven. That's all the angels. Those things on earth, every human being, even those things under the earth. Every demon spirit one day, even Satan himself, every knee shall bow. Satan one day will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, here's another thought. Hell is temporary. And I hear this from a lot of people. They say, well, you better believe God's going to punish sinners. But it's not going to be forever. It's only temporary. This is called annihilationism. You know what the word annihilate means. It means to burn up or to cease to exist. Those who believe in hell but not an eternal hell say that they will be thrown into hell and then their soul will just burn up and cease to exist. This is getting more and more popular among theologians. There are a lot of theologians who say, yes, God must punish sin. There has to be a hell, but it isn't forever. One day their body and their soul will just burn up and cease to exist, and they are no more. Well, that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us, again, I prefer to lean on the words of Jesus rather than any theologian. He called it eternal. If it's not eternal, then he lied to us. He never called hell a temporary place. And here's one you hear often. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard this witnessing to someone, I'd have more money than I do right now. Well, you know, Pastor, heaven and hell really, they're kind of right here on this earth. You ever heard someone say that? You wouldn't believe the number of people I've counseled, and they'll look at me and say, Pastor, my life is a living hell. You've heard people say that. They've lost their job, their health, they've got marriage problems, child-raising problems, and they say, my life is just a living hell. They don't know what they're talking about. It is not a living hell. But that is what a lot of people say. Well, I just think that heaven and hell are right here. And I believe you experience a slice of heaven down here when times are good, and you experience hell on this earth when times are bad. The only hell I read about in the Bible tells me, and again, Jesus said this, it's a real place. It's not what you experience on this earth. In fact, let me suggest to you, for the Christian, life on this earth is as bad as it will ever get. Right here on this earth, if you're a Christian, life's as bad as it's ever going to get. If you're a Christian, you've got heaven to look forward to. Now, if you're an unbeliever, this world is as good as it's ever going to get, right? If you're saved, this is as bad as it's ever going to be. If you're an unbeliever, this world is as good as it gets. It's only going to get worse from here. I was witnessing to a man who flat told me, I don't believe there is a hell. And I said to him, that means you're calling Jesus a liar. And he kind of flinched for a moment. I said, yeah, Jesus preached more on hell than he did heaven. He said, really? I said, yes, check me out. And I said, if you deny that there's a hell, then you're calling Jesus a liar. And if he lied to us, he sinned. And if he sinned, he's no one's Savior. Jesus never told a lie. He was the embodiment of truth. So if there's no hell, Jesus led you astray. Let me tell you what had occurred to me this week, and I think I can back this up with the experience I've had and being a pastor for so many years. It seems as though a lot of Christians are quite literally embarrassed over the doctrine of hell. It's an embarrassing thing to them. They don't want to talk about it to people. Oh, they believe it's real. They're just embarrassed to tell other people. They don't want to be thought of as an uneducated, simple-minded, low IQ dunce who's not smart enough to know there isn't a hell. They don't want people thinking that about them. And so they never tell anyone. They never tell anyone. They don't warn people because they don't want for people to think that they are unloving. How many people I've had say to me, well, if I tell someone they're going to hell, they'll think I'm unloving. The most loving thing you can ever do is tell someone the truth. The truth. If Jesus had never mentioned hell and there is a hell, what kind of Savior do we have? He warned us because it is a real place. And so whenever I don't do this with everyone I talk to. Don't get the impression I go around beating people over the head with a Bible, telling them they're going to burn in hell for all of eternity. But that is something I will not dodge because lost people need to hear this. Most loving thing you can ever do is tell someone the truth. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That means in any witnessing endeavor you undertake, there needs to be a sense that you convey to the lost person that judgment is coming. They need to know what's going to happen if they die without a Savior. We know the terror of the Lord, Paul said, and we persuade men. If you don't believe that God would create a place called hell and that He's too good to send people there, you don't know the God of the Bible. God always meets out justice with mercy. He always balances those two things. Someone asked Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher from London back in the 1800s, listen to this question, and then listen to Spurgeon's answer, as only Spurgeon could answer it. Why didn't God just save everyone? And here was Spurgeon's reply. As sinful and evil as mankind is, I'm just amazed that God would save anyone. Let's bow our heads together. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to have our invitation in just a moment. I'd like to believe that everybody in this service today is saved, but I can't make that assumption. You may be on the road to eternal judgment, but I'm telling you, you can take a detour today. Jesus will save you if you'll call on Him. Repent of your sins. Trust Him. He loves you so much He died for you. You can come today. I'd love to show you from God's Word how you can rest in the assurance that you have everlasting life. Love to do that. For those who may feel led today to join our church, would you come at this invitation? Or this altar is always as open for you to come and pray. Father, I pray you would do what I can. All I can do is bring the message. I can't convict anyone. I can't convince anyone. Only you can do that. I ask you to do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.